Open my lips, Lord, to speak your words, and open our hearts to receive them. Amen. Blessed are the merciful. A true story. Waterloo Station one evening. A passenger stood waiting for his train to Winchester. A man came up to him and spat in his face and said, "I can't stand Christians," and walked off. It was at this stage that the passenger realized that he still had his dog collar on after the conference he had attended at Lambeth Palace that day. He wiped the spit off his face, and as the train had been announced, walked onto the platform. Now, a number of other passengers had seen this incident, and as the journey to Winchester continued, they became increasingly outraged by what had happened to this man of the cloth. What would you have done if it had happened to you? Spitting at someone is a common assault, and in this case it was an assault aggravated by religious hatred. Maximum penalty, I believe, was 6 months in prison. Should the passenger have called the British Transport Police, who undoubtedly would have been standing around? Should he, would you, have punched the spitter on the nose? Should he have raged with the other passengers about the standards, the collapse in standards in our society? How the country is going to the dogs when a clergyman minding his own business can be assaulted in this way, etc., etc., etc. What he actually did was to beat himself up as to why this had not happened before. Because if we're truly a Christian, we're going to be a provocation to others. And he reflected that perhaps he'd been a little safe in what he'd said over his career as a clergyman, and when he'd said it. As we reflect Christ in our actions and our decisions, we act as a mirror to others. They get a glimpse of who they truly are, and they don't like what they see, and tend to blame us for it. They feel judged, even when we say nothing at all. They feel at the very least uncomfortable as the Holy Spirit draws attention to their sins and it makes them angry. But what I want to ask this morning is how that vicar avoided immediately punching the spitter on the nose or calling a policeman. Because I think that this will tell us what Jesus means when he says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." As you know, we're doing a series at Valley Worship on the Beatitudes, taking a whole year to complete it by a monthly talk on each of these sayings of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. We start in February with the poor in spirit, then those who mourn, then the meek, then those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now we, in June, are looking at blessed are the merciful. And by November, we hope that Bishop David will be speaking to us about how Christians are the salt and light of the earth, and we'll wrap up the whole series. I explained early on in this series that blessed really means happy. So what does blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy, mean? Well, the first point to make is that if we're needing to be merciful, we can assume that whatever the situation is, that we probably in the right to be very angry indeed about what has happened to us. I can remember one particular chap who used to sit at a committee meeting that I was trying to chair, constantly criticizing, using foul language throughout, all the time. And all of us will be able to remember similar events in our own lives, and many more serious than these. It could be something to do with our neighbors, what we perceive as their selfishness. It could be the way that our children have behaved to us as our parents, a friend who is no longer close because of something that she said or did. And any of these things, sometimes leading to sleeplessness, as we turn over in our head over and over again. What I should have said was, what I should have done was, when I've in the past spoken to people about the need for forgiveness, the need for mercy, they've often said to me, but you just don't understand what they've done. You don't understand how wrong it was. You don't understand. And then there's a long litany of, and then he said this, and then he did that, and when, worst of all, that. And I tend to say, I agree, it's awful. And it's not fair, and you are right. But you still have to forgive them. As someone had said, a lack of forgiveness is like drinking poison and waiting for someone else to die. It damages our health. But it's also a particular need for those of us who would call ourselves Christians. You see, we will have prayed for all those years, maybe even every day, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. If there are people that we've not forgiven, then we've actually been condemning ourselves before God daily as we say the Lord's Prayer. But, as J. John says in his book on the Sermon on the Mount called The Happiness Secret, in this area of forgiveness, we do need to be as wise as serpents, as well as innocent as doves. Because whilst we will receive a colossal blessing, spiritual blessing for forgiving those who've harmed us, and forgiving may involve praying for them and refusing to mention to others what they've done to us. On the other hand, we've got to balance mercy and justice. Although we should strive to be merciful, there may be situations in which we're simply not authorized to be merciful. And I think particularly in the area of safeguarding, where I'm afraid merciful attitudes by clergy have turned out to look like irresponsibility and conspiracy, as abuse has been hushed up and forgiven. And I think as a general rule, it's one thing to forgive something done to me, but quite another to forgive something done to someone else. Justice must prevail, and people who've committed crimes must carry the penalty for the protection of society. But as Christians, we've got this perpetual picture of Christ on the cross, and St. Stephen being stoned to death, saying, "Forgive them, they don't know what they're doing." How do you do that? I mean, how do you do that? How, when you're in great pain caused by someone else's malevolence, or how, when the attack comes out of the blue, how do you respond immediately in a merciful way? Well, it could be done by self-discipline. Apparently, the SAS have an expression which is never complain and never explain. And they also add on to that, never apologize. And I can see that if you've been through the SAS selection test in the Welsh mountains, you could train yourself by sheer self-discipline not to complain about someone when they hurt you. Just keep the stiff upper lip. Cope with it, whatever happens, however unfair, however unpredictable. But this is what R.T. Kendall calls in his book on the Sermon on the Mount, aggressive mercy. Or as I see it, outward mercy. You go out of your way to be merciful to the other person, overruling your personal feelings, burying them by sheer strength of character, because it's more important for you to do the right thing. But inside, you feel nothing but anger and contempt for the people who've injured you. Although you'll never speak of it, you act as if nothing happened. But I think Jesus is calling us to a higher mercy than that, a feeling of actual pity for the person who's acted so badly towards you. I mean, real pity, not just pity. You know, pity. How do you get to care about the people who've hurt you so badly? I think a starting point is that we to get used to acting with mercy over the tiny things. The person who cuts you up when driving. The person who doesn't know how to navigate the coach and horses junction. You know, let's be merciful about that, please. If we do this every day, it becomes part of our character to be merciful so that we can cope with the really serious stuff when it comes along. On 2nd October 2006, Charles Roberts attacked an Amish schoolhouse in Pennsylvania. He shot dead 5 schoolgirls and seriously injured 5 others. The response of the Amish community, the families and friends, which is told in this book, and also in the movie of this name, Amish Grace, was astonishing and is revealed in these books. It wasn't that they weren't angry. Of course they were angry. They were angry at the evil. They were angry at the death of their children. But they found it possible to forgive Roberts, to hug his family, and notably to attend his funeral, when none of the community from which Roberts came, the Americans that the Amish called the English, when none of them attended out of shame. If you ever imagine that someone has done something to you which you simply cannot forgive, I suggest that you read this book and see the film and reconsider. How did the Amish get to a situation where they could care so much about the murderer of their children that they attended his funeral when all the English stayed away? Well, it's all about the heart. It's all about the heart. It's only when we really understand how merciful God has been to us that we can be merciful to others in the way that God wants us to be. If, on the other hand, we see ourselves as quite good, really, kinder than most, more generous than many, well-behaved and brought up, then actually Jesus dying on the cross means nothing for us at all. He might just as well have not come because we've nothing that we need saving from, according to us. And inevitably we will see the spitter at Waterloo Station, the difficult committee member, the challenging neighbour, the family member, as objects of anger, deserving punishment, of justifiable rage. Why can't they behave more like me? Why aren't they more civilised? Lock them up, constable! But if, on the other hand, we see ourselves as sinners, if we see the whole world as fallen, lost, hopeless, addicted to sin, slaves to idolatry, constantly repeating the same mistakes, and coming to God to ask for forgiveness and to repent, then God will give us a new heart. We will be reborn, and then we will really see the one who sinned against us as pathetic, pitiable, an object of compassion, like everyone else in this broken world, because he doesn't know what he's doing. He's a slave to alcohol, or his hatreds, or his pride, or his idolatry, a slave to the world and the prince of this world, the devil. Only when we truly understand who we are, forgiven, redeemed, loved, reborn, adopted sons and daughters of the creator of the universe, can we have pity and compassion on those who are not. Only when this is our character, only when we are reborn with this as our identity, can we, like the Amish, say with confidence that we are blessed, because we will know that we will be shown mercy despite our faults, and we can be merciful ourselves. Amen.